Nothing dropping right here. You and him.
Here comes to the inside, the 20 of Kenseth.
Good work, guys. P2.
He takes the lead away from the 24. Matt Kenseth in front now in Phoenix.
Get that checkered flag. Welcome back, champ.
The 45-year-old comes out of turn number four. Kenseth's going to win in Phoenix.
So what I typically do during the race season, I don't know how it's worked out so well for so many years, but I'll set my DVR and I'll tape it. And then after the race, I won't even look at my phone. As long as my family's with me, I don't really look at my phone. And I'll go home and I will get the kids to bed. And then I'll ask Katie nicely to go in another room and turn the TV on because I know Sunday Night Football will be on and I don't want to see the score.
Green Bay won the toss, deferred to getting the football in the second half.
And she'll go to the DVR and she'll start it and pause it. So then I'll get everybody to bed and I'll get changed and stuff and I'll go stay up rather late on a Sunday night, watch a game like it's live. And I'd say at least 9 times out of 10, I don't find out what happens.
Looking, throws back shoulder in the corner, and it is a touchdown for Devontae Adams.
When I was a kid, there wasn't really such thing as, you know, fantasy football so much, or internet, or DirecTV Sunday Ticket where you could see all the games. So, I mean, everybody was a fan of their local team. So, obviously, growing up in Cambridge, a few hours from Green Bay, you know, the Packers were the team. I was probably more into riding bikes and working on stuff, and my uncles were racing, so kind of hanging out at the racing scene. We never went to any games or really ever traveled much as a kid. We always pretty much stayed home, didn't really ever do family vacations or any of that stuff, so... It was more, if it's on TV on Sundays, you kind of watch it and follow along there, hear about them on the news type of thing. My first real memory of it is probably, you know, when Lynn Dickey was quarterback and kind of that period. Although I do recall watching a game when the Magic Man went down and Favre came in and hearing a name and nobody could pronounce it right and it wasn't spelled how it sounded. And like, you kind of remember him coming in and just throwing those crazy passes and how aggressive he was and everything. So I remember watching that.
Well, there's a man. He's wide open. Touchdown. Oh, my goodness.
I was a Packer fan, but probably as I got older, probably around that time period, when it was a little bit more accessible and you could watch a little bit more and I was more of an adult, is probably when I became probably much more addicted.
And now, for the National Football Conference champion, Green Bay Packers.
Here come the Packers. Let's listen.
1, 2, 3, dominate!
The biggest thing about the 90s probably is watching them win that Super Bowl.
Down the sideline,
he's
cut it away.
What a pass, what a catch, what a run.
I was racing late miles at the time. Didn't have a lot of money to go down and see the Super Bowl, and everybody's so excited the Packers were back in the Super Bowl and wanted to go in the worst way, and there's no way I could possibly afford it. So I remember watching that on TV and thinking to myself, if I ever had enough money and they ever made the Super Bowl again, I was going to go.
World champion, Green Bay Packers. Look at this celebration.
So 2011, I went back to the Super Bowl, and Katie was pregnant with Grace, and she was due about 2 weeks after that. And she was mad at me because I didn't go to the Super Bowl. I was like, I'm not going, leaving her home, you know, pregnant with her other daughter, and something happens, she's on her way to the hospital. Well, where's your husband? Oh, he's in Dallas at the Super Bowl having fun, so I skipped that one as well. I'm still hoping to go again one of these days. If you could combine the two, you'd have the perfect quarterback.
Touchdown! What a play he made!
Rodgers in the shotgun, takes the snap, wings the end zone.
Yes!
Touchdown! A dagger!
They're both awesome quarterbacks, right? Aaron probably is a much better decision maker than Brett.
Now throws late,
yes.
End zone, touchdown, Jordan Nelson!
But Brett would throw some balls when the game is on the line with a very high risk to that ball that Aaron won't throw.
Here's Brett Favre back to throw. He looks, going to the end zone. There's Dorsey Levin. Touchdown, Dorsey!
The thing I loved about Favre the most, even if you weren't a Packer fan, which obviously I am, I love watching the guy play. He'd play with that youthful enthusiasm. And in my opinion, he's one of the at least high-profile players that they cover and you can actually watch, that I felt like he did it for the right reasons, and he made me feel like a kid again.
He's got him wide open. It is going to be a touchdown to Andre Rison.
Look at Brett Favre coming off the field. He is so happy.
When you're a kid and you fall in love with racing or football or baseball or soccer, you don't fall in love with it thinking you're going to be a millionaire. You fall in love with it because you love the sport and you're competitive and you want to go beat your buddies and you want to go win. Even at the end, that's how we play the game. Unfortunately, in today's world of big business sports, you don't always see that or feel that as a fan. You know, you see people holding out because they're getting 8 million and they want 10, you know, and you read all this stuff, you know, and every time you go to a game and watch him, you're like, this is what football is all about. This is what sports is all about. This is about being a competitor and playing like you're in the backyard and loves it. As a fan, I always really appreciated that.
Out of turn four from Wisconsin, Matt Kenseth scores his 27th Sprint Cup Series win. The pole wins Bristol.
Kenseth will win at New Hampshire.
This will be his second win at Bristol.
Makes it a third. Then Kenseth will win in Michigan.
I'd say my Uncle Gary probably taught me the most about mechanics and setting the car up. Then I just started learning and trying to hang out with some other people. My dad honestly didn't know a lot about him. I was 13 at the time when he got his first car, and I was pretty much in charge of it all. I didn't really race at all until halfway through the year when I was 16, so I started late for today's standards for sure. End of 1992, I was pretty sure I was going to quit. We just couldn't make it happen. We kept blowing engines every week, and we could hardly afford to run. And I remember, you know, talking to a couple people. One of them was Conrad Morgan, and I used to race against him a lot. And I was telling him about it, and he's like, man, you can't quit. You know, you're too good to quit. You can't do that. And I was like, well, man, I can't go on. Like, I'm not going to go on 16th every week and blow up every week and run terrible. And then actually one of the guys who I always kind of credit for saving my career is Rick Kipley. I met him at a banquet at Madison the same time I was talking to Conrad. And he wanted to get into oval track racing and building engines. If you pay for the parts, I'll put it together, and we'll run it, and we'll try it. Anyway, so we ended up doing it, and it cost more than I was hoping it'd cost, and he's a great guy, still a great friend of mine. And he put them engines together, and the next year we went out to Madison. I think we won 12 features out there the next year and won the championship and just started winning everywhere. The engines ran so much better than what it had, and all of a sudden it made the cars handle better, and like everything just kind of came together. So I don't know if I'd ever made it if I went to meet Rick Kipley that night, to be honest with you. I'd say probably my big break is when Robbie and John Reiser called me and talked to me about driving their Busch Series car. So I went down to Robbie's shop, who's also from Wisconsin, and he was trying to run an Xfinity or Busch Series program at the time. And they needed a driver, and I remember going there and all their cars were wrecked. And I had to sit in a wrecked car to see if it fit, and he's like, you want to drive at Nashville next weekend? It was like 6 days away. And I was like, sure, why not?
Matt's a fine young talent. You know, he just, he's looking for a chance to get down here, and the opportunity opened up in the Kraft singles car, and I thought, you know, this would be a chance for him to get some time in a race car, and he's doing us a really, really super job.
We ran Nashville. We did really good. We qualified like third. We got spun out early. I think we finished 11th or something. I had some ups and downs that year. I was actually, after 1 week we wrecked, I thought I was going to get fired and didn't. And kind of got it all put together, had a pretty good season. And then the next year, we have a sponsor pull out right at the very, very last minute, and didn't think we were going to be able to race all year. And fortunately, we won the second race of the year. We won Rockingham that year. Last corner, last lap, probably the most exciting race of my life.
Look at this. He gives him a little second.
He's got it. He's going to get him. Matt Kenseth plays it.
He got it.
Straight away. He got it.
We were able to win that race and get sponsored for the rest of the year, and that kind of propelled me forward from there. Yeah, we disliked each other very much when we raced against each other in Wisconsin. So Robbie's he's kind of a bull. You know, he's real hard-headed, real stubborn. That's probably why we got along so good. We raced together, and there's a few times I would beat him. But I was kind of the young kid coming in, and he was kind of the established guy just getting ready to move south and try to continue a career in NASCAR and to do all that stuff. So we kind of clashed a little bit. And honestly, I think that's the reason he called me. I think him and his dad talked about it, and even though we all didn't get along, when we raced against each other, that he thought I was a guy that maybe would get the job done if I was in the right stuff, and gave me that opportunity.
and the checker flag is in the air. Matt Kenseth comes to the line, finishing fourth, and Matt Kenseth is the 2003 NASCAR Winston Cup Series champion.
We were fortunate that we had a group of people from the same area, even though we didn't really get along back there. We worked through it, and it was good because everybody had the mentality to do whatever it took to win.
Except for doing these kind of interviews, I don't think about it a whole bunch. I really don't. So I think everything goes by pretty quickly.
Matt Kenseth is the winner. He becomes the first rookie ever to win the Coca-Cola 600.
Matt Kenseth is guaranteed to leave Las Vegas a winner as he takes the UAW
side by side for Kenseth. He runs out of time.
I think as you get older, I've enjoyed the wins that we have had and the successes we've had more than ever, because you realize it's not permanent. And probably, you know, stressed out over the failures and losses, maybe a little bit extra as well.
All the way up here. Can you stick it there, then let Grace finish it. Come here, Grace. Push it up.
It's a lot of fun. I'm scared to death for him to grow up.
Give a thumbs up.
We definitely have a lot of fun, though. It's always more fun when you can share things with your family, whether it's successes or failures. So it's certainly been another chapter in my life. I always look forward to it. You know, it's funny getting back from a race, and Clara, my three-year-old, she kind of quit on it a little bit lately for some reason. But no matter where I'd finish, and I'd come back to the bus, and I'd be in a bad mood, we'd wreck, or we'd do whatever, you know. She'd look at you square in the eyes every time without fail and say, "Good job, Dad," every single time, right? I could finish 40th and be like, "Good job, Dad." All three of them really try to find some bright spot of the day and bring it up on the way to the airport or on the way home or wherever we're going.
We were at Sonoma a few years ago, and Domakong Su, he was playing with the Lions, and he stomped on Roger's ankle.
Domakong Su stepped on him twice, and then he basically pushes off the leg.
There was rumor that he was coming to our hauler to meet everybody, and Matt didn't want to have anything to do with him because he stepped on Roger's ankle on purpose, you know. He's diehard.
He's really not a nice guy at all. I mean, Matt, he is so hard to get along with.
Once Matt zings you, it's really good. He doesn't just waste his zingers, so he'll zing you and make you think about it. By the time you try to get a comeback, he's gone. He'll talk trash. He'll talk about Eli Manning. You know, I got a Christmas card he sent to me in 13. And I'll read it to you. It says, "JJ, I'm glad you don't sell souvenirs the way Eli throws touchdowns. Merry Christmas, Matt."
Manning throws.
Intercepted in the end zone.
It's nonstop smack with him.
Anytime you ever try to want to razz him or give him a hard time about something, he takes it so personally. But yet it's okay for him to do the same thing right back to you. So it's really hard to get along with Matt.
Kyle's he'll admit it, but he's kind of a fair weather fan.
The team that I've pulled for since I was a kid is the Denver Broncos.
I guess I have seen him cheer for the Broncos the most.
That's where my loyalty lies, but...
His brother's a Bears fan because he actually lived back in Chicago for a little bit. And I thought Kyle was as well, which, by the way, when I met him, he told me he was.
That's pretty good.
1 week we're at a competition meeting right after the Patriots won the Super Bowl or something. He's wearing a Patriots hat.
When you go to other stadiums and when you go visit with other owners of those teams and they give you a jersey or they give you something to wear or they take you to their private family suite, whatever, you're going to wear whatever they give you in those instances too. So I'm a Patriot fan as well too.
It's kind of hard to figure out.
I cheer for all the teams. Look, I like everybody, okay?
We started a fantasy football kind of a league with some of my team guys like 12 or 13 years ago. It's kind of a way to bring friends together more, too. You know, it's a long season, whether it's, you know, crew guys or other drivers, whoever it is. It's kind of fun to have football toward the end of the year because you're in the middle of the playoffs and you're working hard at all that and studying hard. And it's kind of nice to have that outlook because there's a social aspect to it as well. I don't know that I have much of a strategy.
When we started drafting, it was like at Matt's house. Like, we had the big draft board. You put the stickers on. Like, it took, like, I don't know, 6-7 hours for us to do this draft. We have to suspend our draft every time he drafts because it takes him so long to pick his player. For a guy who takes that long to draft, you'd think his team would be phenomenal every year, but it took him a decade to win our league.
I did win it last year. I was playing the guy who dominated all year. He had like an unbelievable team, right? He had Le'Veon Bell, he had David Johnson, he had Antonio Brown, all on the same team. Anyway, I was down by like, I don't know, 27 points on Monday Night Football, and I had Dez Bryant, and he hasn't done anything all year, and that was that game. He caught two touchdowns and threw a touchdown pass.
To Bryant, he throws a reverse pass to the end zone. Touchdown to win.
And I won by like a point.
Pretty much went out of my way not to even bring it up around him. Like, hey, how's it going? Matt, what's up, man? Like, I don't even want to discuss it with him.
My funniest one about Coach, this was a couple years ago, so the Packers are going up to Washington for the playoffs. So I get a call from Coach's guy. Coach doesn't call me. I get a call. He's like, hey, Matt, we got a bunch of people going up to the Redskins game. I'm wondering if we can use your airplane. We got to get some people in there and get them up to the game and then come back. It'll just be a day trip back and forth. Is that okay? Are you going anywhere? I was like, yeah, I don't care. You can take it, whatever, you know. Pretty cool. Coach is going to ask me to go to the Redskins-Packers playoff game. This is great, right? He brought 18 people up to the game and back. Never got an invite. But Packers beat him, so it's kind of karma.
Under some pressure, he is sacked from behind, an NFC wild card dagger to Kirk Cousins and the Redskins.
I still give him a hard time about that. I was like, yeah, real nice. Hey, Matt, can you help me out? Sure. And I'm like, it's going to be great. You know, he knows the owner, and he's going to invite me to the game, and nothing. The worst football memory I have from Coach is I was in Las Vegas for a test, and I went out there a little bit early, and it was the NFC Championship game, Packers and Seahawks, and he called me at halftime, and I should have known better than answer my phone. I answered my phone. He's like, man, your boys got this, man. They're going to go to the Super Bowl, and they're playing good. They got them on the ropes. They got it, man. Congratulations. I bet you're having a fun time watching them, you know, have it, you know, and all that. And as we all know, there was a big meltdown, and they lost the game.
Oh, my goodness.
What a revolting turn of events.
That was probably the worst one. I wish I went to answer my phone for that one. He didn't call me for like 2 days, by the way. I think he knew I was in mourning. He didn't even call me until after the test. He kind of asked me how the test goes, and he was real sheepish, you know. And I was like, hey, that's all right. I thought most people at halftime would have thought they were going to win. Probably the only thing I really regret or wish I'd go back and redo is I wish I would have played football. I remember a lot of my buddies going and sweating so bad in the summer and doing 2 days and getting ready for high school football and doing all that. And it sure seemed like a lot of work. And I was already getting kind of started in racing and working on my dad's cars and starting to get ready to hopefully start my driving career. So I spent more time doing that and never really did much for sports, you know, throughout high school. So that's something I wish I would have done. Later in life, I got very interested in football, and I just love it, so I wish I would have played it in high school. I'm a 100% fan when I go, so if I go to a Packer game, I can embarrass people I'm with pretty easily, I guess, if they don't want to hear me yelling and screaming. So, yeah, I'm just like everybody else. So I love going there. It's a great atmosphere. Reminds me of home when I get back there because I don't really get back to Wisconsin that much, so there's no other place quite like that, in my opinion, when you go to a game there. I remember a lot of great ones. I was in the grandstands at Lambeau when they beat the Seahawks in overtime, and the mic was left on, and Hasselbeck said, yeah.
We want the ball, we're going to score.
And Al Harris proceeded to pick off the next pass and run it back for a touchdown.
The pass is picked off. Intercepted. The Green Bay Packers advance. Touchdown, Al Harris.
That was one of the most fun days I've ever had at a football stadium, for sure.
Another legendary Lambeau finish.
I think it's one of those places. I think it's like going to, you know, Fenway Park. For us, kind of going to Daytona, you know, going to Lambeau Field. There's those few places. I think in every sport, they kind of have those stadiums that are kind of like, even if you're not an avid fan of that team, it's kind of like a bucket list item, right? You want to go there and watch a sporting event. So, I mean, I think it's been there forever. They played up there forever. It's just it's a cool franchise. I think it's something that everybody, if they're a football fan, wants to go see at some point. To me, the most unique thing about the fans at Lambeau is how friendly they are to the opposing fans. I've never been to another place like that. Now, I've been to some away games where their team stinks and they don't care you're there because they understand you're going to lose. But most places you go to, you get abused pretty heavily because no matter where I show up, if I'm going to watch Packers, I'm wearing all Packer gear. I don't care where it's at. So sometimes I get abused fairly well. Lambeau's a special place. You know, there's no other place quite like that, in my opinion, when you go to a game there. Ross went to some Packer games with me when he was younger. We went up there and we went to a couple games together, and he was a Packers fan, of course. And I think he became a Bears fan just to bug me. That's good for me. It's embarrassing for him. You know, he said it wasn't fair because I made him a Packers fan when he wasn't old enough to know better. So now he's old enough to know better, and he's still a Bears fan.
It's fumbled. It's up for grabs, and the Packers have it.
So I don't know. I mean, you know, you try to raise your kids the best you can. Sometimes they'll have good judgment. Sometimes they won't.
Wide open touchdown, Johnny Nelson. There was nobody in the area code.
I'm real good at dishing it out. I'm not very good at taking it at all, which is a terrible personality trait. It's one of my worst personality traits. So when the Packers are winning, I'm usually ribbing him like crazy. And I remember this is quite a while ago, but it was, I think it was on a Christmas, and Bears and Packers were playing, and the Bears ended up beating them, and he was just like, you know, the poor kid is just like me. He just kept ribbing me and ribbing me and ribbing me. And I was so mad, I was like ready to fight. And so anyway, that's a bad personality trait that I have. So I don't try to rub it in too much when the Packers are beating them anymore, because if someday the Bears are lucky enough to beat them again, I don't want to take the abuse back.
And the Packers throw a dagger into the Bears.